Numbers and Tech Podcast is brought to you in partnership
Thanks for
with
listening
Speak Studios
to this episode
and Speak
of the
Boise.
Numbers and Tech Podcast.
Speak Boise
Future
is a community-driven
studio
chats
space
with other amazing
voices from all walks of life.
Let's keep the conversations going. Whether you are running
you
the show
on Instagram
or working
and
on your
Facebook
side hustle
at Speak Studios,
we give you the business
Speak
advice
Boise
you need.
And at their website,
if you learned something new or felt inspired, let me know.
Speak Studios.
If you want
Speak
more tips and great
and
information, follow my
Hi,
Instagram account,
I'm Melissa,
Numbers and Tech,
and this is the Numbers
or
and
email
Tech podcast.
Info
every
at numbersandtech.com.
Is a story.
Always
Listen
remember
to discuss
to
the financial side
grab
of their
life
business
by the bottom line,
both the challenges and successes. Let's grab life by the bottom line. Welcome to the very first episode of the Numbers and Tech podcast. I get inspired and learn so much by talking to other entrepreneurs and hearing their war stories, and I figured others likely do too. Having a podcast that interviews active business owners who are in the trenches of working in their business every day, and let's be honest, night, has been a goal of mine. I wanted others to have the opportunity to hear firsthand these experiences and bits of advice. So now that I'm actually here recording, I'm very excited. My first guest is Elma Jonnet. She owns Fina Beauty Nails, which is an upscale nail salon. Welcome, Elma.
Hi, thank you.
So Elma and I have known each other for almost 5 years now. Can you believe that? I was first a customer of yours because I valued your talent and appreciated your lively personality. And then I had the pleasure to watch her buy a business. And every once in a while, you'd ask me a few accounting questions during our nail appointments. And one day you blurted out, I want to hire you.
I remember that day.
And then from that point, our business relationship grew into what I would now consider Elma a great friend of mine. She's one of those women that is super supportive of me and others in the community. So there was no doubt in my mind that I wanted Elma as my very first guest.
Thank you.
A first podcast can be a little intimidating, and I knew having someone I already have great conversations with about business and life would make it that much easier. So Elma and I are here now with our coffee, and I think you've got your sours somewhere, don't you?
Yeah, I left them in the car, unfortunately. Oh. I know.
But this is what women should do, support each other. So we're here to talk about Elma's journey into owning her own nail salon. So you want to jump right in, Elma, and
sure.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and your salon.
So really, I've known that I wanted to be in this industry for as long as I can remember. In middle school, I was cutting my friend's bangs. I've been in it now for 6 years. Mostly people know me for doing nails, but I actually went to school to be a cosmetologist and do hair. And that's what I planned on doing. And I always talk to people about doing hair, like my hairstylist and stuff like that. But for the past 6 years, I've only been focusing on nails because once I was done with school, I realized that that's really what I was the most passionate about. In high school, I did my friend's nails, and my very best friend let me do her nails for the first day of school, our senior year. And she got pulled for some like game during our pep rally, like our back to school pep rally, and every single nail was flying off on the gym floor. But I mean, for as long as I can remember, it's something I wanted to do. And it took a long time actually to achieve that because I did cosmetology and because I did part-time school. I actually took 2 years to complete my schooling, and I had to complete 2,000 hours of schooling. It took a lot of things, not just hands-on learning hair, nails, makeup, skin stuff. It was a lot of theory as well. We had to learn about the anatomy of skin, the anatomy of hair, the anatomy of nails, all the infectious diseases, things like that. And yeah, this took me about 2 years to complete. And before that, obviously, I just had to have a high school education or a GED. And yeah, so that's really how I got started in the background. And now I've been doing it for 6 years and I love it. And I can't imagine myself doing anything else.
I think that's one thing a lot of people don't realize is how much education there is into, do they still call it cosmetology school?
Yeah, they do. So now there's so many different little specialties you can go into, I guess you could call. So cosmetology would be like the entire scope of things. So I'm licensed to do hair, nails, makeup, facials, esthetician things, stuff like that. I can do all of it. The only thing I can't do is like barbering stuff. But I'm licensed to do all of that. And now you can even go back and do just nails, get just your nail license, or you can go get just your esthetician license, or just get a license to be able to do makeup. So you can now break it up or do the whole thing.
So how did you go from being an employee to a business owner in such a short amount of time?
Yeah, it was actually very unexpected, as you know, of course, but I started out working for a good friend of mine, Jordan, who used to own the salon that I own now, and that's who I actually bought it from. But I worked for her. While I worked for her, she kind of mentored me a lot, and she trusted me a lot to do things as far as the business side go. Did a lot of running the books for her, closing out, ordering products. So I got really familiar with that side of it. Eventually, I was ready to go out and do it for myself and grow that way. So I was an independent contractor for a while, leasing my own station. And then she was telling me how she met this great guy, wanted to move to Florida for him. You remember this, you know, Jordan. Wanted to move to Florida for him, all sorts of things, and how she was selling the business. I was 8 months pregnant at the time with my first son. And I was just like in my head thinking, oh my gosh, I wish like I was the good timing for me to do this. And I was telling my husband too, I wish this was good timing for me. And he was like, yeah, you know, I wish we were in a better position. We were living with my in-laws because we were building a house, 8 months pregnant. It was chaos. And then one day I called her after we were talking about somebody that was potentially going to buy it. And I stopped at the gas station pumping gas and I called her and she was like, what's up? It was really late because I was working like 12, 14 hour days. And I decided I can't do that with a family. You know, I can't work 14 hour days, but I needed to continue my income and have an income when I'm not there. So I called her up and I said, hey, Jordan, I want to buy your business. And she kind of just said, I've just been waiting for you to say that. And from there, we started the process and the loan process and everything like that. And that's kind of how it came about.
That's great. Yeah. That she, you know, waited for you to come to in your mind that you were ready to take that step and not push you into it.
Yeah, she definitely waited a lot. And then as you know, with the whole financial process, that took a long time for us too. So she had to keep waiting and keep her now husband waiting too in Florida. So, yeah.
So did you end up having to like finance, get a loan for your business, or did you self-fund or borrow from family members?
So we actually had to do a bank loan. We thought we would go SBA, and honestly, now I can't even remember why that didn't work out. But we went through Idaho Central Credit Union, a local bank here. That's who we used, and we financed. We didn't have the pleasure of or luxury of self-financing or family financing, so we went through a bank. And yeah, it's a conventional loan at ICCU, 7-year loan, and so we're paying that back right now.
Okay, okay.
Which you know, because you look at my books all the time.
Yes, yes. You also mentioned to her that you felt like Jordan kind of mentored you in your first days as an independent contractor at her salon. And I'm taking it from your story, like that was a great value to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it definitely was. She mentored me. It started even when I was in school, actually. She did my nails. We were introduced through a mutual friend, one of my best high school friends. She introduced us. And she was doing my nails and she knew I was going into cosmetology. And every time I would be at her house, actually, because she was in the process of opening the salon, I was excited and looking at all the polishes and all the things coming in. And she was telling me, oh, you can come in and swatch stuff for me. And I was super excited for all the little things, too. And then eventually she was like, well, why don't you just do nails? And then I started shadowing her when she opened her salon. And I was there every single day that I wasn't in school or at my job because I was working full-time, part-time school. And then every moment I had that they were open and I was off, I would be spending there and kind of learning from her. So she mentored me business-wise and professionally. She taught me the most I know about nails, actually, just by watching her asking questions. And then one day she was just kind of like, okay, time to do my nails. And I mean, I can't even say how many hours I spent just sitting next to her and watching her do everything. She would take me to meetings. She would take me to the bank with her. She'd make me go do bank runs, things like that. So I really got to learn a lot from her. And yeah, it was really nice. And she trusted me eventually to just kind of do it all for her. So it was really great.
I love that. Yeah. I think there really is a lot to offer by both being a mentor and a mentee. I don't think a lot of people realize the value and the experience that for her, did she even know she was training, you know, the next person to buy her business,
right.
Which is, and then also you learning from her, it's very powerful stuff. And I don't even think we realize how much we have to offer
yeah.
other people in the workplace.
I don't think she realized it either at the time. And maybe now she does. And she would always give me advice. And there's so many ups and downs of owning a business, not just the financial side, not just like running the business, being there, doing the nails. There's conflict within employees and different kinds of things. Like, you know, there's always conflict and downs and ups and stuff like that. But she trusted me also enough to share some of those downs with me and when she was going through them. So it was also kind of like I would bounce ideas back and forth with her of how to handle stuff and just seeing her handle things and kind of knowing like how I would like to handle that or not handle that. So she mentored me in more ways than she probably even knows.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So I guess I have to ask you this. Mm-hmm. Are you mentoring anyone now?
I don't know. I mean, I like to think so.
It's not a formal relationship.
Right. It's not a formal mentor-mentee relationship. But I would say I take a lot of people from school. When I hire a lot of people out of school. And I do a lot of extensive training. And I train my manager to be able to train them. So I feel like I do a lot of training. It might not be called mentoring, but mm-hmm. I train in nails. I tell them my experiences in the 6 years, like what I've gone through, where I started. Even when I interview people, I mean, one of my last interviews was like 2 hours long because we just talked and talked and talked. And I gave her a lot of just advice, not necessarily just an interview. It was more of talking, and we hired her on and we're going to start training her. And I like to think that that's some sort of mentorship too, mm-hmm. because while I train them, I tell them where I started and why I think you should do commission mm-hmm. over leasing right away and mm-hmm. things like that. So,
yeah, no, I was impressed and hadn't even really thought about it, to be honest, when we started working together and you asked me a few times to come to your employee meetings. And first, yeah. I didn't even realize nail salons had employee meetings. Like it didn't, I originally came from the corporate world. And right. so to see small businesses, I was impressed at that. I'm also liked seeing that at your employee meetings, you not only talked about the day-to-day activity in your nail salon, but things in the bigger picture, mm-hmm. helping them understand whether they're an independent contractor or an employee, what that means from a tax perspective,
yeah.
what it means from their level of responsibilities, as well as I see you educate them in the day-to-day techniques.
Yeah.
I feel like the products and the services in your industry have just exploded in the last 3 to 5 years.
Oh,
it's
definitely.
Not just a simple manicure anymore. I know you have a very upscale nail salon and they're artists. What I see them do on women's nails is art.
Yeah. And I prefer to call them artists versus nail techs. So even okay. when I refer to them on our social media or even on like our website, anything where I refer to my employees, I don't like referring to them as my employees or nail techs. I actually refer to them as nail artists because I agree with you. I think they're artists, not just employees or nail techs, you know, because they do create some of the most amazing things. And it's not just a, like you said, it's more, we try to be more upscale and we try to give those services that you can't get maybe just by going into somewhere where it's a 30-minute quick manicure. I mean, our manicures are minimum of an hour and we do extensive things. So it's a lot of training that we do, a lot of mentoring, I would say. And then going back and mentioning how you came in one time. Yeah, I would say that's all part of a mentorship because I don't want them to make the same mistakes I did, or I want them to learn things early on. For example, I didn't know much about being an employee or an independent contractor. And there's that super confusing, I guess, controversial topic within the nail community about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so helping them understand that early on was very important to me because I didn't understand that. And then when it came time to do my taxes, I was very confused. So I want people to understand that. And I truly want them to know how to run a business, whether it's independent or a full one. And so that's mm-hmm. why I invite people like you to teach them too. So,
yeah. And we keep talking about the importance of social media
yeah.
and the sharing of social media. So why don't you tell everyone, what is your Instagram account?
It's Fina Beauty Nails Co. That's mm-hmm. our handle on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
That's the salon one. I have my personal one, which is just Elma Dzanic Nails. It's Jonich, but I got to say it the way you guys will spell it. So. Sure, but yeah, sure. It's just Elma Johnich Nails. And that one's more my personal one, but our business one is where we share most of our business things, including this podcast right now. So yeah.
And then I think it's really nice. You also really stress the importance to all your employees to having their own Instagram accounts.
Oh, like, definitely.
I feel like it's nice. You're supporting them in their path of their career choice.
Definitely. So. I like to think, social media is huge, huge, huge right now. It's not just within young people, it's just every business. I feel like it's mostly used for business and promoting yourselves and socializing, obviously, social media. But I think it's very important. And I believe that my business and I myself within my career, I'm only as successful as my weakest link. So I'm going to do everything I can to make everybody as strong and as powerful as I want to be and as I want my business to be, because that's their success is what's going to create my success. And social media is a huge part of that. Just getting your name out there. The more people you can reach on there locally, the more people you'll have sitting in your chair. So I think it's very important.
So how do you manage your time? Like, what's an average day like for you as a salon owner? Or do you manage your time?
I will say I am probably the worst person at managing time. That should have been my New Year's resolution. But time management is something that I really struggle with, and every single day is so different for me. So it's kind of hard to manage it. I like to say that I'm on standby all the time. I don't necessarily have like certain hours that I work a day or that I set aside a day to work, because something can come at me at 9 a.m. or I might have to do something at 8 or 9 p.m. It just depends on the situation. If somebody calls out sick, they let me know at 7 a.m. So I have to be up rearranging schedules, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say I have a set schedule or that I'm very good at time management. It doesn't really exist for me right now. I'd like to get better, but every day is so different. So I just kind of take every day by day. And as
so
it
I think
me.
Then how has being a business owner affected your family life? How has it changed since you don't have that normal 9 to 5, or as you were saying, you were working like 12-hour days before? Yeah. How's it different?
It has changed a lot. I mean, in one way, right now it's nice, as you know, I just had a newborn, so I've been able to be home being a business owner. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily have to be behind the chair as much, but so it's been nice that I've been able to be home with my kids more, but it doesn't mean that I've been able to stop working, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm still in contact with everyone every day, still handling the back end stuff with you and ordering stuff and, you know, working on some projects behind the scenes and things like that. But I think family-wise, it's really, it's been difficult. I'll admit it. I mean, there's times where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so disconnected from my family. And so I've really had to like make time for it. Before, when it was just me and my husband, it was like I could work all the time and I was coming home to him. But now like my kids need my attention. I mean, my husband needs my attention too, but we like, it was easier before because we could hang out till 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. It was fine and chat and talk. But with my kids, you know, it's not the same. So I've had to really strictly set time aside to be with them. Otherwise, I find myself like lacking with them. And then sometimes I spend so much time with my family that I feel guilty and like I'm putting my business behind. So it's been a really hard transition. I'd say that's probably the hardest one. But just trying to include them, and I've realized that I can take my son with me to the salon for things and whatnot. But it's affected my family in good ways and bad ways. And so just mm-hmm. kind of figuring out how to navigate through that has been mm-hmm. really difficult.
Mm-hmm. How many employees do you currently have at the nail salon?
Right now I have 8, and next month I have 2 more girls joining us from school. And well, they'll be completing school, obviously. And when mm-hmm. I say from school, it's just because I prefer to hire people out of school so I can train them and mentor them and things like that. So right now we have 8. We have 2 more joining us. And then with these projects and things that I'm doing right now, we will be adding at least 3 more. So, yeah.
How do you know when it's time to add additional employees? That sounds like a lot of people.
Yeah, it is a lot of people. At one point, we had 16 nail artists in
wow.
there. Yeah. Just rotating through schedules. But I would say the obvious, you know, when you lose employees, you got to rehire. And then also just looking at the schedule and when I notice that we're turning away more clients, and not just like on the busy days, not just on Fridays and Saturdays when you're the busiest, but when we start turning away clients throughout the week. Or my goal is always to help my nail artists retain clients and not just filter through the, you know, one-time clients that come in and out, the walk-ins and stuff. But I really want them to retain those clients and create those relationships with them to keep them coming back. So once a new tech or a couple of new techs, they start filling their books and they have repeat clients very often. Once that starts happening, then I'm like, okay, it's time to introduce somebody else so they can start taking those new clients on and building their schedule up. So it just depends how you look at it. But usually it's just the way the clients are flowing and looking at the schedule all the time and stuff like that.
Yeah. And speaking of scheduling and thinking about the last 12 months and the pandemic we've all been living through, how has COVID-19 affected your business?
In every way possible, every way you can think. Probably in ways that you imagine and hear people talk about, like having to close and financially not having an income for the time that we did have to close, things like that. But then also COVID, and I've seen this with my friends that own businesses or just by people sharing things on social media and stuff like that, that hiring and rehiring and keeping employees has been very difficult. And some of it, I think it has to do with all the unemployment benefits and then also people just realizing that they need to take risks, and COVID put things into perspective, and maybe some people decided they wanted to go and take the risk and do their own thing, open their own business or things like that. But it's just a scary time, and hiring and rehiring and the unknown of, if I hire this person, am I going to have a clientele or am I going to be able to stay open? Am I going to have to close again? So it's just been very difficult to know if you should hire or not hire, and finding those people to hire as well. And then also just clientele. It's affected our clientele. When COVID cases rise, our clientele declines. When COVID cases decline, our clientele, you know,
increases.
Yeah, it increases tremendously. Just like right now, it's really popping. We're getting really busy again. And summertime is coming, so we expect that. But also with the cases going down here, our clientele is rising. And then another huge thing that we noticed, and I've seen a lot of people complaining about on social media in my industry, is the fact that clients have kind of used it. And I know a lot of people have been getting sick and last minute changes happening, but a lot of people have been using it almost as an excuse to not follow policies and cancel last minute. So we were having like a dozen cancellations the same day, you know, and that's a big
wow.
hit. Yeah. And it, you know, they call so-and-so and my family is sick, or I was exposed, or I'm feeling under the weather. And of course we don't want those people to come in, but it almost became like a really good excuse to just no call, no show. And it started happening a lot to where we had to start implementing our policy a little more, especially with COVID declining. And now we're a year into it. So we had to really start enforcing our policies again, just because it's really affected business that way. And I've seen it do that a lot to others too, and friends that I've talked to in the industry. So
I've also seen too, just because, you know, I do your accounting,
yes,
seeing even the additional costs that you've had to incur adding, you know, safety, the PPE,
right,
the equipment you need, the safety parameters. I mean, it's a completely different look even in your salon, trying to keep employees safe and clients safe and continue to provide your services.
Totally. So, I mean, being a nail salon, we all obviously have all these regulations and things that we already have to follow. We already do, you know, disposable files, buffers, things like that. Wash
disposable? You throw them away every time?
Every single time, yeah.
Wow.
So every file, everything that's porous gets thrown away every single time. Only the metal implements we keep and reuse. But yeah, everything else gets tossed every single time. Just the increase in pricing of things. Like, obviously, we had gloves for manicures, pedicures, things like that. But then getting those shields in place, getting all of the extra strong disinfectants, finding disinfectants that are going to work fast enough, you know, so that we don't have to take all the extra time in between clients. And then gloves doubled in price, and we have to use gloves for, like, every single service. Hand sanitizer, all those things have increased in price, and we've had to have an increase of them. So not only have we had to buy more, we've also had to spend more on them. So financially, it definitely
it hit your bottom line.
Yeah, it hit our bottom line, definitely. And we've had to buy a lot of those things at a lot higher cost. And then also not being able to get them because the hospitals needed all those things too, especially in the beginning. It was so hard to find masks and gloves and things and get them in time. So there's a lot of things that went into it, and COVID really, yeah, it really rattled the cage for a lot of us, but I think it helped us learn to prepare better.
And speaking of the bottom line, as going from, you know, your own independent nail artist to a business owner, do you generate personal income at this stage of your life with Fina Beauty Nails, or Do you find that you're continuing to reinvest every penny you earn back into the business to keep it growing?
Yeah. And so you obviously see this because yeah. we go over every transaction that comes through. But
a lot of business owners, I get this question all the time. Oh, when can I start taking a salary? How much should I take? So I think people hearing your perspective and experience is much more powerful than me as a bystander. How you feel about it?
I think yes and no. Sometimes you take an income and sometimes you don't. This last year, I would say like it's been very minimal just because of obviously things that are going on. But I'm 3 years into this, and I think these 3 years I've definitely reinvested way more than I've taken home, and that's totally fine. That's kind of expected, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't think I expected it as much going into it. Everybody kind of looks at a business owner is, oh my gosh, you know, they're the owner, they're this head honcho and making all this money and stuff like that. But you don't realize just how much you are going to be reinvesting into your business. And you're the person that's going to take the hit and not take a income home when those things happen. But that's probably something I was surprised by. It's also something that changes every single month. Sometimes I take an income, sometimes I don't. And, you know, once these loans and things are paid off that I use to buy the business, I'm sure that'll change. And as I keep growing, that'll change. But I would definitely say being realistic as a small business owner in the beauty industry, no, you don't always take an income home. And I'm sure I speak for many when I say this, that sometimes you just end up reinvesting more, especially. I think a lot of things that I read before is like the first 3 to 5 years you reinvest the most. And I was like, oh yeah, whatever. But no, it's definitely true. I reinvest more than I take home. Definitely.
When you were talking about how COVID-19 has affected your business, mm-hmm. you did touch on, you know, there's so many regulations that have been temporary and permanent. Mm-hmm. As a business owner, did you find that overwhelming, or were you prepared? I mean, there's licensing requirements, there's employer taxes, there's income taxes, there's dealing with independent contractors and employees. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that? And did you feel prepared to handle those?
I don't think I was as prepared as I thought I was. I was like, okay, I understand all these things are going on, stuff like that. And I knew that there was going to be all those things to do and tackle. But with so much going on, it can be overwhelming. And honestly, that's why I hired somebody like you to help me take care of all that stuff. But I would say I probably wasn't as prepared as I thought I could be. And there's so many little things that you can forget, and all the permits, like even just selling product, you can't just buy product and resell it. You actually have to have a license to do that. And some of those things I didn't know. But yeah, no, I wasn't as prepared as I would have liked to be. And then that's why I outsource and hire people like you.
So what's next for you? What's going on in the next, not only the next few months, mm-hmm. few years, what are your dreams, your goals? How do you see yourself progressing in your field or a different field?
I would say one of my big goals, and you know this because I talk about this all the time, is I would really love to have my own building. Going into this business, I didn't realize how huge like the space you have is. Like, you know, obviously your location and stuff like that, but there's so many things, like everything is based around the building that you're in and having the space to expand or this and that. But I would really, really love to have my own building, build my own building or renovate an existing building, and then have my own tenants, and then also have a full service salon there. And then a couple other projects that I'm not ready to share yet, but yeah, that's the ultimate goal, is having a building, having tenants where I can have those projects of mine and my ventures in. And then right now I would say my biggest project that I'm working on is just renovating and expanding the services in the salon, like we mentioned. Mm-hmm. Right now it's just a nail salon with 10 stations. However, with COVID, we had to cut back stations so that we could separate our desks. So right now there's only 8, which has actually made me realize that it's been just fine with 8. So I'm reconfiguring our space to add a couple hair stations, add a treatment room so we can have a facialist. And I actually have a gal that's finishing esthetician school, so she'll be doing that part-time and hiring someone else on, but kind of just renovating it also and remodeling to be more of my brand and my style, and just getting more services in there and creating some fixed income as well by doing that. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's very important. for any business owner to diversify their mm-hmm. income streams.
Yes.
And so
you taught me that.
Right. It's, you know, it's the old saying, don't have all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, it's true.
So I know that you offer services, you also sell products, mm-hmm. And you even have some of your own products mm-hmm. as well as other products. And now seeing you expand to offer a different type of service, I think that that's something that every business owner should look at. What am I succeeding at today? Sure. What's bringing, you know, what are customers coming in the door for? But also listening to your customers. Mm-hmm. I know from speaking with some of your other nail artists, they've had customers say, do you do waxing or do you offer this or do you offer
hair? Oh, it happens so much more than you think. Or we've had people walk by and be like, do you guys do hair here? And we're like, unfortunately, we don't. So we send them, you know, down the street. Mm-hmm. But being able to do that. And then I think just with my background, sometimes I always have this like thought in the back of my head is like, maybe I should do some hair. And then sometimes I'm like, it's too late for me to figure that out. Or maybe I should do some facials and stuff like that. But then I'm like, oh, it's too late. I'm already so deep into nails. So I think having that background and then having that opportunity to sometimes like dabble into just in my own space is going to be really cool, because I don't really think that I could be a nail salon owner and then go do hair at a different salon. So I think it'll be really cool. But yeah, just being able to offer every service possible.
It's really interesting to hear you say, someone in your 20s say, oh, I think it's too late.
Uh-huh.
I hear this a lot from business owners, but even people, their 40s and 50s. And I always tell them, I had a friend go back to law school at age 40. Mm-hmm. And I told him, in 3 years, you're still going to be 43, whether you go to law school or not. I really admire people that don't take age out of the equation and sure. just think about what do you want to do mm-hmm. and how do you get there. So
I think
don't think it's
to
too
it.
late.
I think I put it that way because I'm so deep into nails and all the things that I want to still do within the nail industry that I'm like, oh, I got to still focus on that and keep my head focused on that before I jump over to hair and stuff. But, you know, I mean, I guess it isn't too late. And maybe you'll find me behind the hair chair and maybe you'll find me in the treatment room. So you never know.
You also mentioned, you know, every once in a while people pop in and say, do you offer this service or that mm-hmm. service? And you're referring them to others, mm-hmm. which I really feel like social media in the last couple of years has been for the good in collaborating.
Oh, yeah.
You see on social media, and I see on your sites and everyone's sites, and I don't know if this is really popular within female-owned businesses, mm-hmm. but I see it constantly, whether just sharing that they're working with others or doing giveaways or hosting events. But how have you seen collaborating with other business owners work for you?
I mean, it brings people in your door. If I'm collaborating with somebody that's a hair salon, I have a good friend who has a hair salon down the street. And if I'm collaborating with her, whether it be on a giveaway or just referring people down to them, they do the same for us. If they have somebody in their salon that's getting their hair done or whatever it might be, they're going to send them for nails to us. So that's huge. Obviously, it's just, how do you say, like trading off clientele and things like that and referring them back and forth, getting your name out there. Social media, I would say, is just the biggest. And then also, honestly, like with COVID happening, I'm in an industry that's, you know, the stereotypical catty, everybody is competing, things like that. But I think COVID really changed that for a lot of people. And it allowed people to kind of step out and shout out those other small local businesses and me as a nail salon and other nail artists, like shouting each other instead of just being so competitive, being more like collaborative has been very cool to see. And especially with small businesses, I think it's been very cool. But there's enough business to go around for everyone. So there's no reason that we shouldn't be collaborating and bouncing ideas off of each other. And I actually got to be at a meeting during the closures of COVID with a bunch of salon owners. I was invited. And it was very cool to see because, you know, all these other industries, they have like associations and they all get together and they make these plans and things. And in my industry, I think the only reason we don't have as much of it is just because the stereotypical, it's competitive, it's catty and things like that. But it was very cool to see everybody get together because we were trying to figure out how do we get on the list and the phases of being open as a salon because we weren't even considered at this time. So we were trying to put together ideas and a few people actually did come together and create these regulations that they presented to our government so that we could reopen, because we weren't even in the plans. But it was affecting everyone's bottom line, and everybody got together and collaborated, and that was very cool. But yeah, so honestly, COVID has made people collaborate way more.
And I love that collaborating has kind of brought you and many's to thinking of that place of abundance. Mm-hmm. You said that there is enough to go around mm-hmm. for all of us, so we don't need to knock each other down yeah. or, you know, talk smack behind other people's backs about this or that, that there's room for everyone and there's the right customer for everyone. Yeah. I have really found it interesting for you to find your niche in your industry. And I feel like every time I come into your salon, I learn something new. And I even feel like you've become an educator to your customers. Mm-hmm. And maybe just expand a little bit upon that between your products or your services or your education. You know, how do you try and set yourself apart from, I hate to say your competitors,
yeah.
but from how do you just set yourself apart for you to find your ideal customer from the other nail artists in town?
Mm-hmm. I think because we're a nail salon, and a lot of nail salons, you know, are a quick stop for a lot of people. And even just changing that idea for our clients has been a huge thing. And customers, you have people call in and say, you know, can I get in right now? And unfortunately, it's not always the case, because we go by appointment. We're not just like a quick walk in and out salon. And we go by appointment. We honor your time just like you honor our time. We take the time. We don't necessarily set like, oh, in an hour, every single service can be completed. We really try to treat it like, when I was an independent contractor, it was a very different experience, like individually with each of my clients versus just filtering in people out of my chair. And so I thought that was huge to take back and put it into a bigger scale. So we like to do that. We like to create relationships, retain those clients. And then also products that we use, we don't use, you know, we really use the high end stuff. We want to use the safest things for our clients as well. And that's going to cost more, which is going to make our services cost more. And then we do all this continued education. So there's a reason for all those things and for costs to go up. And it's the education, the price of the products, the time we're going to take, because we're not going to just get you in and out in 30, 45 minutes for a full set. We're going to take the time to do exactly what you want and use the best products we can. But when you sit in our chair, in one of our chairs, we're going to educate you on the products that we're using and why we're using them. So there's so many illegal products actually that like shouldn't be put on nails, and we'll talk to our clients about it, and we'll tell them like, we use this versus this, and here's why, because it's going to be safer for you.
So, I love that you're not just educating your employees mm-hmm. but also your customers.
Yeah, so we're really creating those relationships to have those returning clients and have them excited to come back and know why they're coming back and what they're spending their money on. I mean, communication and education is huge.
Yes. Always keep learning.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I went and sat in someone's chair and they didn't talk to me the whole time, just slapped some nails onto me, I wouldn't really care who I came back to, you know, or mm-hmm. if I came back. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, you want to create that relationship, and I want to know about you, and I want to know about your kids and your family and what you're doing and what your goals are. And so, I mean, you create a relationship and a friendship and a bond. And so you want people to return. So I think that's one of the biggest things and why we keep our chairs full year round versus just summer busy time, because we retain those clients and they, you know, become our regulars.
And that's how our relationship grew.
Mm-hmm.
I came to you because of your talent, but I kept coming back because of that loyalty
yeah.
and that. So, well, thank you.
Thank you.
We covered a lot of great information in sharing your business story. And so I want to thank you again for coming today.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm wanting to end each podcast with some out-of-the-box questions.
Okay.
And this might be dating me a little bit, but there used to be this TV show called Inside the Actor Studio.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. And it every week they'd interview famous actors and directors. And at the end of the interview, they'd ask them short to the point questions to just get a greater insight into these, you know, superstars, personalities okay. and such. So you're
so
the
I'm a superstar
today. So it's 10 questions, quick answers. There's going to be no discussion.
Okay.
I'm just going to fire them off. So you're
all
ready?
Right. Okay.
One, what is your idea of perfect happiness?
Freedom.
Freedom. Mm-hmm. 2, when and where were you the happiest?
At home with my kids.
3, which living person do you admire the most?
My mom.
Oh. She'll be listening.
I hope so.
4, what is your latest extravagance?
I got my nails done last week.
Really? You own a salon.
Yep.
5, which talent would you most like to have?
Singing. I wish I could sing.
6, what do you consider your greatest achievement?
My children.
Another tearjerker. 7, what is your greatest regret?
Not traveling more before children.
Oh, I thought you were going to say before COVID.
No, that too.
8, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
High school teacher.
High school teacher?
Yes.
You're brave. Yep. 9, what profession would you not like to ever have?
Anything in the medical field. Mm. Not my jam.
And last one, what is your motto?
Fake it till you make it.
Oh, that's a great
Paul Mitchell taught me that one.
Really? Yep. Well, I love your honesty and thank you again. And on that note, we're at the end of our time together.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Numbers and Tech Podcast. Future episodes will include chats with other amazing entrepreneurs. Let's keep the conversations going, whether you are running the show or working on your side hustle. We give you the business advice you need. If you learned something new or felt inspired, let me know. If you want more tips and great information, follow my Instagram account, Numbers and Tech, or email info@numbersandtech.com. Always remember to grab life by the bottom line.